Okay, so everybody, now the official portion of the meeting.
Okay.
Was it Robert Wilson?
I'm going to have to give you a 5-minute version so that I'm going to go downstairs and join the others and mingle some more and talk about it. My name's Mark Wood, and I've got a background as a former United Nations Emergency Telecommunications Coordinator. And before that, I was a senior lecturer in cellular network design. So I have the special task of trying to find humanitarian applications for mobile communications equipment. And by far the most important thing that we should be doing now, definitely, is making cell broadcast work. It's turned out to be something that's taken me at least 10 years so far, and other people have been working on more than that. But we are going to make some breakthroughs now. And the reason why I've flown out from London, especially to talk to you, is because the critical thing that needs to happen now is innovation on the terminal side to make it work. I'm going to tell you what that is now. Okay. Here was my original problem. Originally, I was told to look for a solution for a tsunami. Because if a tsunami is coming, or an earthquake, you need to tell hundreds of millions of people something, and it's got to be now. It's got to be hours from now. Well, I did the numbers, and I found out if you send anything more than 10,000 SMS text messages, you get into trouble. Not only is it slow, but you can crash the network if you put too many in. So I was having a coffee at a conference once with somebody, and I told him this problem, and he said to me, oh yes, well, of course we should use cell broadcast for that. And I said, oh yes, good old cell broadcast, absolutely. I thought, what a fool. If there was any such thing as cell broadcast, I definitely know, because I'm a senior lecturer in cellular networks, right? And I had never heard of this thing. Well, I delved into the standards, and I found out something pretty astounding. The standards have always had in them, and the systems have always had embedded in them, another method for delivering text messages. SMS text messaging is one, at a time, but the other method is you can command the tower, the cell, to stream the text from the cell, and the mobiles will pick it up passively.
Yeah, but it doesn't help
out. It doesn't take any money.
So I have a quick question to interject. How do cell phones get software updated from the central tower? Is that through this method?
I know that Vodafone do it this way for their own engineers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vodafone, you said?
Sorry?
Did you say Vodafone?
Vodafone have used this in the past to update parameters for their engineers.
The one quick, though, is they don't, because somebody patented that idea, so you're not allowed to do broadcast updates.
Wait a minute. He just said that the standards have always been there.
I can't address, but anyway. Now, my objective is to try and get lots of life saved as soon as possible, particularly for cases where the authorities need to tell these guys over here, no, you need to run like hell, but you need to tell these people over here, you need to stay where you are and don't block the roads, because it's just as important to tell people when they should not run.
And don't pick up a seizure.
Right, and as it is to tell them when they should. Right, so here's what you should know. First of all, cell broadcast is already embedded in all the networks, in all the base stations, in the switches, and it's embedded in the devices as well. Every GSM mobile has it. The CDMA mobiles also have it, but it's switched off. So it's already there. We don't need to spend a lot of time, a lot of money developing it. It is there, has been for many years. Third thing to know is it works even in full overload. The way it was designed, it doesn't use any traffic channels, and there's no signaling. You see, we don't need to find out what anybody's IPSI is or their TIPSI doing.
So it loses even the phones are not registered.
So even the phones are not registered. Anybody who's roaming, anybody who's not registered, as long as they tap on a cell and listening to the broadcast channel, which they are, they're going to hear this coming across. They're going to decode it, they're going to set off the alerter, they're going to show it on the screen with no signaling backward, there's no back signaling. There's no HLR, there's no VLR, there's no paging, there's no nothing. It's completely passive.
Anything in the tower, anything in the cell.
That's right. So you can group cells, you can group them up into loads and loads of cells.
Right.
You can make the area as big as you like, or as small as you like, as long as it's not smaller than the coverage of the cell.
So this is like emergency broadcast.
Exactly. Our whole purpose is to have the emergency broadcast system done like this in the future.
This is done right now.
The technology is done right now, yes.
The CDMA and the GSM software, it's a done deal. But it sounds like the application software on the terminals.
That's rather variable, but it is there.
That's a big debug.
Yes, it works very well. We're actually testing in Wisconsin. Okay, so the four things you should know. First of all, it's already there. Second, it works even in full overload. And one of the major problems when you're trying to send the same message to a large number of people, this system can't actually hack it. It has enough capacity.
Even with that,
because you have congestion in the SS7 system between the HLR and the VLR, and there's congestion in the paging system between the PSC and the
SS7.
All the same, you get congestion because the HLRs and the VLRs and those other parts have some difficulty keeping up with the load, particularly the paging side, that's where the bottleneck is. But with this, we don't have to page anybody. We don't have to look at Tim's
signal. No, this doesn't have congestion.
This doesn't have any congestion because all we're doing is we're streaming the text from the base station, just like RTTY.
Right.
It's streaming
or is it?
It's
streaming.
It's an SMS packet group size.
Could you just
140 bytes?
No, I'll talk more about the size later. No, it's got variable sizes. Okay, the next thing we need to know is it's geospecific. Because what we can do is select which base stations are going to transmit what message. So the mayor of New York, for example, could tell people in New York now run like hell and go north, but he could also tell people in Brooklyn, do not come here, stay where you are, get off the roads, keep off the roads, don't use the phones for nothing.
And there's one thing which is still in New York.
You could tell the people specifically where to go. And we need to do this because, you know, we do not want people running. We want people to run away, but we want other people who do not need to run away to stay where they are. We also need to tell people we're going to come along and we're going to bring you some water tomorrow. So don't panic.
Just stay there.
Exactly.
Based on which cell tower you're bonded to.
The one you're bonded to. So if you and I come from London, we don't need to log on to a website to say that we're in London because it's this cell that we're at.
When you click the thing on your iPhone, it says you're near here in Google Circle and there's a cell tower somewhere in the middle of
no,
it.
No, nothing like that.
Oh, that tells you which cell tower you're
near, right?
Yes,
exactly. It's which cell tower you're at is the one where the message is coming from, yeah. In some cases, it could be a microcell only about 100 yards across. In some cases, it could be usually 1 or 2 miles across. In some cases, it could be longer. I don't know, you get the idea.
I think MTSL does support this. Yeah.
Well,
what about
MTSLs?
MTSLs
are pretty good. I don't know if you're looking to support
one of the guys from Samsung.
And they're
basically the same protocols.
Yes, as long as the protocol is the same, it supports like all GSM systems except overlaid cells. Overlaid cells don't have their own broadcast carrier.
Yeah, right,
because they're handed up from the underlaid cell.
Is that like MVNO type thing? Is that what you mean by an overlaid cell?
No, in the hierarchical cell structure, you have your umbrella cells, then you have your macro cells, then you have your micro cells, and each cell has got its own broadcast carrier, right? The exception to this rule is when you have an underlaid and an overlaid cell, where you've got a large coverage area that's got a broadcast carrier, but traffic that's close will be handed over to a different frequency group that doesn't have its own controlled broadcast carrier. And then has to be handed back down to the control cast group again when a handover occurs. But it's a special case. But in any case, when you're in the idle mode, you're connected to the one that's got the broadcast carrier on it, which is the underlaid cell. Okay, so the answer is, as long as you're in idle mode, you should be able to listen to the broadcast carrier, you'll get this message, and the thing will ring. Now, the other thing that's important to know is, if you get a text message and it says, run like hell, Sam the Bear, you don't know if that's true or false.
Yes.
It's easy to spoof. Cell broadcast is very, very different.
Tell me that's not the case.
It's absolutely not the case.
Okay.
Because if we just imagine your group of cells there, here's a cellular company's group of cells. As we know, cells are backhauls to the base station controller, right? The base station controller is backhauled to the MSC, and MSCs are backhauled by MSCs, that's got a VLR on it, and it's got a, and so on. This eventually goes to the HLR, and you know, this is where it comes in, and you do all that signaling and stuff. Well, here's something interesting. The way that cell broadcast was designed, it's injected in here. Cell broadcast is injected into the BSC that controls the base station concern. More than that, it's injected into the central processor of this one, but this device here doesn't do any traffic control. So when the system's gone into full congestion, when you have a disaster, one of the first things that happens in the first couple of minutes, everything goes boom, useless. Mm-hmm. But this is working fine, because it doesn't do any traffic control. Since the handover is handled by usually transceiver handlers, which are separate, they're not congested. So this means that if your MSC and all the signaling system and all that is fully congested, it doesn't matter, this ought to carry on working.
So there's a 7 channel in this one.
There's no SS70 involved.
But how do you get the message to
the CV?
There's a separately quality of service assigned.
Okay.
But you have to ask. I
see
a lot of questions about this.
He's making assumptions. We're going to let him ask a question.
Yes, ask a question, sir.
Not us asking him questions.
Right. Let's ask questions at the end.
We go more at the end.
Ask questions at the end so that you actually
get. Because this is supposed to be the 5-minute version. Okay, so this is the idea. With cell broadcasting, you have got a fighting chance, despite its many problems, of actually getting through to these base stations, transmitting some streaming text from those base stations, and every mobile that's camped in the particular cell concern should receive that, even if everything's fully congested, and it should give you a message on the screen, a bell rings, a screen lights up, it flashes, it puts it all on, super duper, right? Now, the question is, how do we get it there? Well, the answer is, by using usual kind of VPN-y kind of technologies, we have to backhaul this to some kind of management system. And that management system, on the other hand, is also secured to the police or to the city authorities or wherever it is. But in between those two, there has to be what we call a broker. A cell broadcast broker. This is the part that's
been heard of.
When I first started on this project, I didn't have anything in mind to sit there and design everything, but what happened was, first of all, I went along to the networks who own these towers and so on, and I said, oh, you could be doing all this and saving all these lives. And they said, that's a great idea, wonderful, have this stuff on the back counter for later, but don't tell anybody about it, we'll just take care of it for you. So I thought, great. Then I went off to the Iraq War as a humanitarian coordinator there in Syria. And when I came back from that, I went to them again and I said, well, what did you do that you have done so far? And they said, well, that's not a priority for us, actually. You know, we'll get around to it sometime, but still don't tell anybody about it. Leave it to us, you know. So I said, fine. Then it occurred to me that they actually weren't having any intention of getting this done. For various reasons that they have. I mean, the networks do have perfectly good reasons. The networks do have perfectly good concerns about these, and they need to be addressed. But they weren't addressing them at all. Yes. Something I've learned, I've been looking at. So then what they said to us, well, you know, frankly...
So their concern was proprietary?
No, their concern was they can't make money off it.
No, it's still a broadcast,
it's not billing. They said, we can't make money off this. Tell us how to make money off this, and then we'll do it. So then we formed a company called the Cellcast Corporation. The Cellcast Corporation then took out various IP rights on various algorithms and so on in order to commercialise it. And that's what they've done now. They produce this middleware.
The UN would just pay for it.
No, the UN may not do that, politically, because the right to save somebody's life is the right of the sovereign state concern. So the UN cannot do anything. But now what I am is I'm the chief technical officer of this company here, because it was the only way of getting anything actually done. Even though I'm also several hats on, I'm the Secretary General of the Center of Emergency Alert Service Association, which is a non-profit organization that coordinates this. I'm also the UN Special Coordinator for Cell-Broadcast Harmonization and all this thing for the European Union as well. But in those capacities, I can't actually do anything. The only capacity we can get anything actually done is the Cellcast company, who have designed and built all this stuff to prove it works, because they kept telling us, oh yes, well, it looks good on paper, but it can't be made to work. We did it, and we proved it worked the first time, because finally we got a phone call from a small network in Wisconsin, and they said, look, I don't know why everybody's saying this can't be done. It's easy. Come and see. So I drove up there, and we went there. It took us half a day's work, me and the techie down at the center, to write in the mamish command. Everything worked the first time. There was an Ericsson script. Ericsson uses man machine language. MML.
Yeah.
Okay. The Ericsson
if
we gave an MML command, it all worked. Anyway, so then what happened was we decided, well, look, the networks keep on saying they're going to pursue this and not. We don't have a choice now. We'll have to go to the governments and tell them what it is that they've got here, because this is exactly what they're about. Then we saw Katrina come and go, and then we saw the the tsunami come and go. And every time the big fat reports would come out saying, oh gosh, we don't have a way of reaching, you know, hundreds of millions of people in a few seconds. I wish we did. And I'm starting to think, well, yes, we do. We have had for some time. We all know about it. So then what happens? The president signed the WARN Act. The WARN Act said to the networks, you have to have some system for transmitting EAS messages. Please tell us what you've got. They had a big, long, year-long study about it. Some expert group met, and they produced a 200-page document that doesn't tell you anything whatsoever. They didn't mention any of this.
So where were you? You were in Africa.
I was not invited to join the committee. I'm not American.
Wait a second. The FCC has, whenever they do an NPRM, which is notice of proposed rulemaking, which is what this is, they allow you to post.
Yes, and that's what I did after the CINSAT committee had met. The CINSAT committee, which was the committee that was appointed to study, produced their report. They didn't mention any of this stuff in. After that, Cellcast and I, and many others who know about this, started posting. But what's interesting is the various industry people, apart from AT&T, haven't even mentioned that they have this. And we've now found out the reason why, because the CTIA went before Congress and said, we don't have any such technology, but if you give us a bunch of money, we'll
be able to. But this is the same people who said, for $6 billion, you can call forward on cellular.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
they want to find out if cell phones.
Yeah, they want to use us. Now, we know it works because South Korea is a country that has CDMA. South Korea does its EAS over cellular by using cell broadcast, and they have been since 2003. And I went to see them, and I sat across the table from the director of their virtual team and said, well, tell me, what problems have you had? They keep telling me it can't be done. And he said, problems? What do you mean?
No, please, those of us coming from the techie side are very familiar, only familiar with the cultural of this. Are you going to be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to give my talk about these network years, and it's just such a cultural divide.
Are you giving a talk at this conference?
No, this is the only talk I'm giving.
Why not?
Well, I'd like to, yes.
But can we just get you one of the 5-minute slots or something?
Yes,
please. What time do you need to leave?
I don't need to leave until 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
Oh, okay, great.
We'll be up and maybe every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Without interrupting.
Okay, good. Well, I'll make sure I'm
okay. You still have your question, or is that your question? How to implement this?
Well, yeah, I'm still looking. Sorry, I'm not going to put yes.
Oh, okay, when you're done with your talk, I
want to
ask a question.
All right, yeah, sure. So this is what's going to happen, Ellis. Now, I still believe that the key to this is not only that we've got to have it for warning and informing the public, I'm not going to get that unless there's something in it for the network. I've got to find out how you commercialize this.
Well,
so the answer is quite simple. I believe it's not difficult. We can find applications that need one of two things, as I see it. Either the same thing needs to appear on a gazillion terminals all at once at any time. This is perfect for it, provided the volume's low. Or, if it has to be geo-specific, at least down as far as the cell's concerned, this is good. And it's very, 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 very cheap. And all of the technology is already in the chips that we need to do, apart from the software providers.
However,
we need to get it in. Because of the fact that access to this thing is going to be through this system here, we need to make sure that at the start when we design it, it's possible for commercial users for this and programmers for other benefits of this can still get in. Fortunately, the person who's been put in charge of designing the channelization scheme is me. So I'm in a position at this point, because nobody else wants the job, to fix it so that everybody can get access to this thing. And that's what I intend to do. I intend to make sure that anybody who wants to gain access to this, with the permission of the networks, of course, for their application can do so, and at the same time, this broker here can calculate how much bandwidth has been used and who owes everybody what. Then that way, the networks haven't really got an excuse for not doing this. I'm trying to remove reasons to not do this because I want to get some life saved. But the only way we can do that is to make this commercial attractive.
Well, that's why I need you guys. I'm going to think because this is so mind-boggling, simple, and cheap.
Yeah.
And it does not really cost the network operators either.
No.
So it's almost as if, like California.
You've got to get it past the marketing guy.
No.
Well, the end users are going to get a random message that says, you know, go buy stuff at Macy's or whatever.
No.
They'll get that.
Why
wouldn't that happen?
There's another approach, which is you can't have your way to fund one. It sounds small enough that California might. Yeah. The reason is there was something I read. So California is looking at his SMS signaling.
They're very worried about
worried about the emergency services. I just
went to California. That's the signaling people.
Whenever a cell broadcast message is transmitted, it begins with a 16-bit code. And the 16-bit code is called the message source identifier. It's like a port number. It tells you what source of message this is. In my plan, I've got a range of 200 of those which are reserved for civic purposes, and all the rest can be used for commercial. And that means that nobody receives any spam on this thing. Spam is impossible with it, the way that I designed it.
Let's do the technical questions first, and then my question is not about the architecture. So, but I think let's focus on architecture, and then I want to move on to humanitarian questions about what he's been doing.
Sure.
Well, I think it's quite linked to it because the reason I mentioned the California things, I think. It's almost a trap to try to find, you know, reasons for the carriers to do it when, you know, the effort to do it is really so small.
Yeah.
And the question is, you need, and this is why California is interesting to go on the East Coast, because they actually budget, you know, this kind of stuff. And there was this explicit, I mean, in the counties too, but an effort to investigate how to use SMS for signaling. And the impression I have is the numbers you're talking about, rate relative to what they were talking about. But, I mean, you look, you know the way it's selling people price. Every message costs $10, right?
Yeah.
So the amount of money that California's already thinking of spending sounds like it would be way above what you need. And I think the issue here is, if you have to incent the carriers to do this, you should just bring them to court for depraved negligence.
Yeah. Sorry, you were asking that. You could leave this first.
You want to get the technical question. Do you mind if I ask the question? Thanks.
Yeah.
So, obviously, like the 9/11 initiative, you should start your own in TMO. It's not separate from this, but in conjunction with the UK government and the FCC.
Well, the different governments can't.
That'll take time. But that is your first.
That is what
official
the FCC
process
the FCC,
you have.
The FCC have got the MPNR saying you have to carry EAS messages now. You tell us how you're going to do it. And they come back saying, oh, you have to give us some sort of design system.
Right. So what you're looking for now is how do we launch this thing prior by making presentations to the carriers on how much money they're going to make.
For sure. That's one way.
No, you have to have a bad press thing.
And that as well.
No,
that's never motivated them before.
They're worried here about flooding and fires and earthquakes. And I think you have to get those people who are worried. You know, they're setting up emergency centers because actually California is way unprepared if there's an earthquake.
Talk to Seth Beery for a joint venture, Silicon Valley
and the ABAC people and go in there because San Mateo County already has an alert system. And you have to say the cell phone, but I doubt it could take the volume that this.
Right, but the question is, if there's mud, in other words,
there may be budgets already for it.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I suspect there are budgets.
And you have to build on those budgets. And if California is another advantage. If California says do it, you do it nationally.
Exactly.
So that's why this might be the best approach.
Exactly.
Because it's in the standard. It almost like the medical point. Now, I guess the percentage. So you can give a point.
I think I can because I was at a town meeting just last week on emergency. How about the emergency service?
So imagine that I'm sitting down with someone who's in policy and they say, well, I've heard that CJA said it can't be done before there because it costs $100. What's the one-liner answer to say, actually, it's implemented?
The
FCC doesn't allow the appropriate words.
So what's the one-liner that says, applicant did it in one day by...
And it cost them nothing. They just commanded it on. The reason why it's not on is because it's commanded off. Well, all they did in Appleton was command it on, and it worked.
So specifically, it's I know HML, and I know where the BSC is around here. I've got some bolt cutters. it's just a matter of, you're saying that it is honestly just a matter of sitting down at the terminal.
Yeah, then you have a demo site for the rest.
Then you have a demo site
for the rest to go
specifically
to.
Specifically, what is being turned on?
Just remember, okay.
Specifically, what happens is, CCH channels to be turned over for the purpose of broadcast exclusively. And that's what happened. But except in CDMA, there's no loss of bandwidth because
you're saying that the single command is actually to turn it on and use it,
it unlocks the feature. If you use a feature, when Ericsson sends you a switch, they do a deal with you about which features you will have and which you won't. To command it on, you have to type in what the product code is for that, and that unlocks
it. So what we should do is publish a product code.
It's going to be a bit upset.
So seriously, depending on what switch it is, that is the base station controller, it's just a matter of unlocking the feature that's already
in.
So why are they representing that it's $100 million?
Because it's CKA.
Because it's CKA.
No, it's singular.
No, but what is it that they're saying? Is it the security features that they're saying need to be researched?
But it's been researched to death for 10 years. Everything's been researched. What they're saying is that they want to have a committee formed and lots of money given to it, and by 2012 they'll report back on a system that will do all this.
But why are they saying that? Still think we should say system.
Oh, yeah. Let's spend more money.
So I am lost on what it is that they're saying needs to be done. If the one-liner answer is so crystal clear, I think it is, then what is it politically that...
They want money. They want money to pay off for the E91 market.
I understand. That's why they're doing it.
That's why.
Oh, my God.
That's why they're doing it. But what is it? CC92.4.
That is at least my reckoning of it. I think that what they want is paying off for all of these things in some way. But this money is going to come from emergency management. I don't want emergency management money spent on, broadcast systems.
Well, a common carrier is supposed to provide their service in the first place.
Let's segue into business model. Okay? So what I want to go back is to the left-hand side of the diagram, which represents ways to monetize this program. So let's talk about that. Can you talk about... one, the infrastructure. Two, what you envision as the business model to monetize the program.
Sure. Now, do you mean to monetize it from the network's point of view or from the application point of view?
Every way possible.
Okay. First of all, from the network's point of view, one of the problems with self-broadcasting as is it doesn't have any billing because there's no coordinated record with this.
Right.
So nothing for the billing gateway to work on. They can't take you. But an SMS message, they know how much that's worth.
Right. Well, and the SMS message is unicast, so they know who it was sent to.
Yeah.
How many billing messages per SMS?
How do they do it?
There should be one.
Only one?
Yeah.
Only two.
Anyway, if I carry on here. Now, with self-broadcast, my proposal is this device here can calculate about, because it's, you've got to specify the polygon, you have to specify, here's an area where I want this thing done, and here's some text to say. All we do is we take the polygon, we calculate what's the population underneath that polygon, multiply one by the other, and come up with a figure that says this is approximately how much
No. This is the Arkham problem.
You don't
use sewers, you don't use
plumbing.
Well, there's
can you make a diagram?
Yeah. When a message is transmitted, you send in the message a whole bunch of lap bonds like this, and they form together what's known as the polygon. So you can create an irregular shape if you like. That's the polygon that states this is the area in which I want this broadcast. Now, what we do is, we figure out from an algorithm approximately what the population was inside there. So now we know how many people this was targeted at. We'll never know how many people
see it. So you can decide how much it was.
You can do it like that if you like, but the algorithm calculates what is the value of this population. What we do is multiply one by the other, and this machine does it. So all the network have got to do is walk the checks to the bank, because every month, machine goes, okay, singular URL this much, T-Mobile URL that much, and AT&T URL that much.
The reason I object so much, is I'm getting my talk. The phone system is structurally behind this model like building roads by the hospital and I think that you should really go up with a very straightforward simple we'll carry emergency messages and not try to bargain, well, please save my life by paying this much. Because there's no cost here. You're feeding a fiction, you're feeding the CTIA's fiction. We've got counties here who worry about floods and things, but a much stronger thing than accept. You don't want to give any credibility to the carrier argument that this is a multi-billion-dollar cost to them when it stops.
So, Mark, what you're saying is that the system allows you to create a determined geographic area which you can say, we have these demographics, and so you can leverage that to do some messaging that has some kind of advertising or public service or whatever it's doing, and you get some income off of that.
Yes.
Why do you care about the I mean, you only care about the number of towers, right? You don't care about the population. No. All you care about is how many towers you have to send it up.
Yeah.
So if you have the local county pay for it, or the local jurisdictions pay...
Well, it's hard to get local counties to pay for things right now.
They are the people that send out the emergency messages.
Yeah, but we're laying off teachers.
No, but they're paying for the medical
but they already have a budget to do emergency management.
Teachers aren't as important as money.
And it's not going to cost much.
Well, how about insurance companies? Maybe insurance companies would like
so
it.
Are you asking us what is
the political argument that will have to happen
in insurance companies in the U.S.?
That's the one. So in the U.S., there is economic value to the insurance company for a life save.
This is
I understand the monetization.
They can move their valuables upstairs.
The key thing is, you know how cheap there is.
People get a break on their insurance if they pay for
it. The cost benefit here is so high that I think the insurance is a good.
You're threatening liability to them if they don't use it.
Even better, get some attorneys. Go to insurance and also. Again, I don't know if you can do this, but they're probably protected from reality. But remember, the
machine.
Jerry Brown.
So if I could.
Jerry Brown, here.
Ralph Nader is the right guy. But
he's not in California, though.
Yeah, but
Jerry Brown's the attorney for the stock.
I understand the value of monetizing it in the perspective.
Yeah.
I also share the it's either cynical or honest perspective that it's tainting what you're trying to do.
No, but not the thing. The thing is,
it does taint by putting a corporation around and trying to earn money around this.
Yeah.
I do understand that it does add a taint to it.
Yes.
I don't disagree that there is value.
I couldn't do it the other way.
Yeah.
We had to form a company and do this commercially. It couldn't be done the other way.
Yeah. Now, but
this is where we are now, wearing two hats. They don't get comfortable with each other sometimes, but it has to be done.
The one thing that I've heard that really does sound like an interesting, very commercial perspective is to go after the pre-monetized value, which is life insurance, property insurance, in the areas that are covered by this, and make the argument to the insurance companies that this is something that they should underwrite in order to, there's got to be a cost. It may be that the self companies.
Years of rationalization on that.
It may be,
I've always been around the block several times with that.
Oh, sorry, with insurance companies?
Yeah, that's why I really want to get down to how do we use this for everyday monetization? Because it's a specific geographic area where you could do local broadcasting, and there's all kinds of things you can do with that.
Right. Now, what are the proposals I have?
Does it disable the mobile telephone when it's in use?
No. One of the proposals I have is what I'm going to call civic telemetry on channel 855. I've allocated to civic telemetry. This would be binary data that they're constantly streaming away about the environment. In other words, what is the pressures and the temperatures and so on now, what they're forecasted to be in 3 hours, what they're forecasted to be in 12 hours. Then you'll know, should the air conditioning system be shutting down now? Should we go off? Should I shut the heating system off? Should I sprinkle my lawn if you're going to rail tonight? So with embedded devices, if embedded devices know accurately, not only what is happening right now, but what's going to happen in the next 3 hours, 6 hours, 24 hours from now, they could profile energy usage much better. So we have that. People would know if it's going to be a cold night or if it's going to be a very rainy night, and so would devices. And we wouldn't need to stream that with text and irritate people with a bell going off, because that kind of data would be streaming all the time on channel 855. Your embedded software and board devices would be receiving this, decoding it, and then it would tell you, my user said, hey, when it's going to rain hard, I want to be told, ring, ring, ring the bell. But if he says, no, my user doesn't care about rain, don't ring the bell. This way we won't have bells going off all the time.
Got it.
So the great thing about this is not in text. This telemetry channel here is in very compressed binary, and it can be used to trigger devices like lawn sprinklers, not to sprinkle if it's going to rain tonight. You know,
okay.
Air conditioning unit to
take
the back if
it, I get it.
Just
okay.
Say,
Civic value
doesn't have to just
that's
be...
That's the greening of the city. That's the green, cool city.
But that would only be possible if you could inject it in here, so that we wanted to design the system so that things like that's possible to get in.
So somebody can subscribe to this or not. They pay for the subscription to the Civic Telemetry, for example.
Except,
for example.
The problem with this is this is way now getting part of the study. You know about Ambien, which we do these like enforce stuff. That only exists. We already have ways to do this without having to phone somebody's intermediary. Because we have lots of ways to say, oh, it's methods already exist without doing this, so to try to get people to pay.
The
only thing you get is you get green cities. People who want to be a green city.
Yeah, well, GSM is more universal, isn't it? I know that some companies use like paging channels and that kind of thing. However, if you had this, wherever in the world you go, as long as it has either GSM or CDMA or UMTS or LTE, it would be grandfathered in. Oh, because it's an international treaty, you don't change it, it's going to set the jump out of rate by 5, it would mean it should work everywhere in the world. So when you go on holiday to Greece, your phone will still now tell you what is going to happen in Greece in the next 12 hours or so. We're going to go straight
to the
sprinklers.
So we want to get rid of the phone. We want it to go straight to the sprinklers.
The point I'm making is, what you're saying is, you put in a single over IP, and now you can be able to sell it. If you're going to put in all this effort, why do all these channels? Why don't you say, give me IP? Then you don't have to have any international treaty once you get the message through, because all you do is you subscribe to whatever service you want.
No. I still need to have, and I'm going to be working with the Internet Engineering Task Force on this. There's a political problem here. Because I'm a representative of the ITU, I'm not allowed to interfere with IP directly. Once we have got the framework in there for cellular, then I can go to the Internet Engineering Task Force and say, give me the same range of multicast address space for this. Then I can do it in IP.
What he's saying is, give me multicast a failed idea.
Well, it should be a successful one if you have an application for it. I asked them.
That's an interesting observational idea.
Yeah.
Why is it that multicast has failed and self-broadcast is failed? Is it the same reason?
I can tell you why my theory about multicast is failed.
Well, it has something to do with Cisco.
No. My theory is just like the QoS bits and all these other ideas you throw in to fail. It's not that great an idea. You so rarely have to broadcast to everybody. And when you want fan out, there's so many other ways of doing it. That rather depending upon the complex protocols being implemented everywhere, you could just sign up to rebroadcast something if you want to relay it. Multicast is an application protocol, not a network protocol.
Well, it's
putting in the network.
I'm
not saying there are no users.
eBay works because they use multicast.
See, multicast works.
When you list an item on eBay, the way it gets to every engine in there, the 2,000 engines in search farm, is that it gets multicast to all of them.
What I'm saying is, think of it as an application protocol rather than a network protocol. And it's fine as an application protocol.
but it has to use multicast underneath, otherwise you'd be broadcasting the same, you'd fill your network.
Give another example. I went to New York, and we've been talking to the New York City people about this. For example, if there's going to be a power failure...
You're the ones that did 9/11. Are you talking to them?
Yeah, well, usually when the power goes off, it doesn't go off very suddenly. It looks like it to us like it goes off suddenly, but normally the power company people know in a couple of minutes advance what's going to happen. It's very rare.
So those hurricanes...
Don't worry, we need the poles fall down.
Now, in a case like that, they actually have to turn the power off to save the grid from collapse.
Just put all three that just
fell over. Yeah, so they've got their hands on
the do we don't have underground wires?
We can have a bit that says the power is expected to go off, and then all the elevators could power down to the next floor and stop there with the doors open, so people wouldn't get stuck in the elevator. So the firefighters would need to get people out of the elevators. The generators could start up and bring themselves online right away, so that when the power goes off, it's already there, and so on.
They were trying to actually do that signaling over the power wires.
There were places where you had to build the high tension wires.
There was a guy in Colorado.
Yeah, Texas. A home.
Colorado was trying to screen
power. A home utility.
Oh, I read about that.
They've got six townships in South Africa. And the reason South Africa is relevant is that their disaster rate of power.
Yes.
The idea that South Africa tried to implement through multiple ways, one of which is undoubtedly this company that's one of our customers, is how do you manage at the level of the ratepayer? Well, this one company that's building out of dumpsticks, it's called Pepcon. They have a home utility hub that is controlled. They do water and electric power. But it's CDMA, I'm not sure. But it's a cell-based management system for at the home level for the utilities.
I don't think South Africa has CDMA.
These guys, they've got six townships that have signed up, but the idea that, you know, if they wanted to shut down power, they could broadcast it. I mean, their idea is they want to do it over IP.
Yeah, but very often you can avoid a brownout sometimes by switching off advertising signaling or telling air conditioning units to go down to about three quarters of power or some other things.
Well, yeah.
The frequency might never drop down low enough so that you have to do it. But if you don't have a universal method for doing it, GSM, despite its many faults, does have the advantage that it's very, very, it's as close to universal as we've got.
Is there a compelling edge inside the ADA? Americans with Disabilities Act.
I don't know. One country that has this is Holland. The Dutch did this to reach the
ADA.
Yes. Holland has a siren system for warning about flooding, and they realized that they definitely couldn't hear the sirens.
Yeah.
So they set their boffins and said, find out how we're going to tell the deaf. They came up with self-broadcast.
Well, and now they're required by law under the ADA.
No, they're not, because the ADA has effectively been eviscerated by case law.
No.
Yes.
I just won a case with the ADA.
The ADA is effectively eviscerated. I mean,
it's not shit. The Dutch.
I don't agree with that. Cobalt City is.
That's interesting.
This is what the lesson that they've learned over the years is to become companies. And the more the problem with the cellular, you start the companies in the silos, but then you really don't get the fast innovation. If you separate transport extension from each application, they can then proceed in parallel rather than having to be all or nothing.
I agree. I think I've been on this project 10 years now, and I'm fairly sure it's going to take me another 15 years to get it right, because when we go to LTE and 3G, we're going to be using IP addressing, and it will be different. But I think if we just keep on waiting and waiting and waiting, we've been a long time for this now, we won't solve the problems which are political, because the problem's not technical at all. The technical problems are insignificant compared to the political ones. What I've not drawn on this diagram is the political dimension, and it's this. You see, the self-broadcast broker has got to decide, really, is the mayor allowed to say that?
Right.
Or is the police chief allowed to say this?
Yeah.
Who? And who overrules who? You see, there's all these turf wars that go on, especially in America, where you have very complex, overlapping territorial claims. So the other thing the broker does that's very important is if a mayor sends a message to the system as a proposal, it's got to be able to analyse it on the basis of jurisdiction. And say, just a second, this area over here is not his jurisdiction.
No.
Yes, sir.
When a mayor sends a message, you act on it. You don't sit in here.
What if it's not in his jurisdiction? If I'm the mayor of London, I can't tell people...
Then you're saying, you're the mayor of London and this is what I order.
No, but...
That's fine if you're in London, but you're in a suburb.
So if you're in Manchester, if you're the mayor of Manchester, say, I'm the mayor of Manchester, you're hanging around.
Yeah, but suppose you're the mayor of Salford and Salford's part of Manchester, then you're stuck. And then there's Lancashire.
The broker's got to know. Now, of course, this is not the time to convene the committee in this
case. Deserve to die anyway, I think.
Therefore, what you've got to have,
what if
you're in a committee,
no one knows who you are.
Concrete jungle.
Trust me,
it's going to be
worse. What happens is an accident on the F1.
Oh, look, that's the concrete house again. It must be in the same roundabout.
The mayor gets a chance to be wrong.
There's a chance that someone might be wrong.
See, the carrier has to pay.
In other words, the mayor of London.
No, the judge
is right now, and that's Boris.
Interesting, huh? That's the San Mateo County alert system.
That's emergency security.
That's how he gets his fee, gets a cut of that.
My citizens of Manchester, I don't want the mayor.
That's our county alert system. Sends an SMS to get
the
system
has to decide on a jurisdictional basis, that's one thing.
But
there's
other things as well.
Well,
why can't it share? I mean, if you're
this system is administered by the Summit County Office of Emergency Services.
Why don't you just have a switch over?
Oh, we found out who the vendor is here.
On the feeding side, that's the money.
No, you're saying there's a conflict.
Okay. This guy notification.
Only wants
secure
to talk to him. There's another man that wants to talk to him.
Okay, so someone's actually
talking to him. Yeah.
Okay.
So the other
and what's more, they have a map of where the other areas are you can sign up for.
We have to make the rules about that, and the equipment's got to faithfully follow whatever it was.
All right, I got a question here.
Oh, yeah.
All right, it has to do with the emerging market countries or developing countries,
yes,
Syria or wherever, and
how
is the regulatory context different, and can you get stuff done there?
Yes. In fact, I'm making a lot more progress, particularly in Southeast Asia and Africa, than I am either in the UK or the USA.
The fact is, most countries follow the FCC until the FCC does a move to BAFTA, and they just go to BAFTA.
So right now, for example, I'm going to be going probably quite soon to the Maldives Islands, because as it happens, I gave this presentation once, and the guy who was at the interview wasn't Prime Minister for Communications for the Maldives as well as Minister for Emergencies. So he said, well, in my case it's easy, because there's only one person to make the decision. So they've had a committee that's met and thought about it for a year, and they just wrote back to me last month saying, yeah, we like the idea, come and do it.
Okay.
So, you know, we could easily do it in a place like the Maldives, or Sri Lanka's a more difficult problem because they've got a civil war going on. But there are other places where we're not having difficulty getting
the
carriers.
So, are there 1,500 carriers around the world?
Something like that.
So, what happens when there's an earthquake in Indonesia?
What happens then?
Sri Lanka.
Okay, now I need to tell you about that as well. Because, luckily, this is where my background at the UN comes in. When you start doing things across borders, things become far more complicated. However, there are models for us to resolve that. Here's an example of what I mean. I went to a conference once, and the Germans announced that they would have a free satellite system whereby if they would pay for it, would give tsunami alarms to everybody, including Indonesia. And the chair of the conference said to me, come in this room. And I said, what is it? He said, I can tell you this is going to fail, because the government of Indonesia will never tolerate for a German citizen to be telling Indonesian citizens what they should do. And it doesn't matter if it's technologically more elegant, it's not going to happen. So I said, right, so I designed it like this. In every sovereign country or sovereign state like Florida or Texas, what have you, you have one of these. It follows the rules there. If these people have decided that they will accept an alarm from an external alarm system like a tsunami alarm, then it comes in here, it gets modified according to what they said, but notice it changes its sovereignty. Now it becomes a Floridian message or a Indonesian message. It's changed its sovereignty, therefore it's free to go to the citizens of that place as a sovereign message from that government because they agree.
It's a peering relationship.
So therefore, by means of this network, you have to respect everybody's sovereignty. You have to respect everybody's turf. This is what I've learned. So therefore, whenever you're going to install a system, and even if whether it's a small island or a big country like the States, it doesn't matter. But the governor of Florida, for example, wants to have his own broker because he wants to set the rules.
Of course, that's fair.
Sure, but if there's an EAS message that's come from a federal system, it's likely to be signaled to their system first, so we can go through it and then appear
for
the
Floridians. And the hurricane helps did 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And the reason they did it, you know, why they didn't know about it? Because the head of the weather company said, you will not allow to listen to messages from the weather stations.
Yeah, that's a classic example. We have that a lot. We had this situation where NOAA built a weather station on one of the Caribbean islands, and they refused to send any information back because they said it was their sovereign cloud. They said, this wind is our wind, and that's our cloud. You can't have the information back until our guys have seen it.
But it's like NASA predicted what was going to happen with the New Orleans hurricane, and after that, NOAA told them never to forecast the weather again.
No, and so you have these... Here's a comment on this. This is where I think we've covered all we talked about, the ITF world and the internet versus this. And that's the collision, because the internet doesn't respect the same values in a fundamental way.
And that's why the politicians will always make sure...
No, they're going to try, but they're going to fail. In a deeper sense, the kind of the rules and jurisdictions are the stuff we deal with every day with the internet security and access control.
Yeah.
And I think the problem, and this is where it is covered in the IQ, the IQ actually thinks they can solve these fundamental and solvable problems. Okay, and the real thing, where you do to solve an unsolvable problem is you show it up on the user. So you want to decouple these.
Well, you have to find the right...
The question, you need to find the right...
We've got two questions.
If we go back to my last question about emerging market countries.
Yeah.
I think your point is great because the thing about those countries is they have a whole lot more to lose if there is a major environmental disaster. They don't have a lot of cash to put things back together with. They don't have state-of-the-art hospitals, et cetera, et cetera. So when their infrastructure gets binged, they're like down for years and years, and maybe they don't even catch up again.
Sure.
So can you address that? And so how they get more motivated for warning systems because of the fact that they are very much watching their bottom line constantly?
I'm only allowed to respond to requests from governments for information. I'm not allowed to go to any government and tell them what to think. It's a strict no. And so what I'm allowed to do, though, is to ask them questions. So what I did was I went to Tanzania and I met with the Ministry of Telecommunication, Ministry of Emergency Management, and I said to them, Your Excellency, I know that you are an expert in these matters. I'd like to have your opinion about this. And they said, My opinion is this is a great idea. I think you should study it some more. What I cannot do is go to the Tanzanians and say, Hey, you should be doing this, because they'd be going, Oh yeah, on your bike. You can do it, but you have to do it right. You have to do it diplomatically. Because I've been trying to do this thing for so long with so many different methods. The only way to get this done is diplomatically, on the government side, make sure that they feel that it's them who's asking for it, that they're fully in charge, that their sovereignty is being respected. From the network side, we've got to let them know they're not going to lose money. In fact, they may even make some, so that they feel comfortable about that. And from the citizen's side, they need to know, here's something that you want to have, because every report I've ever had read says that we need to have this. It's easy to have. You just go to your mobile and switch on channel number 921, and that's all there is to it, and you don't have to pay any money, nobody knows where you are, so there's no back channel in this. Nobody will know where you are, nobody know where you've been, and without even anybody knowing where you are, the government can still tell you if it's going to, you know, rain hard or not, something like that. So a different approach for every different group.
You have the capability of having this up and running.
Yeah.
Almost at the flip of a switch. Yes. And any sort of, and it looks like you've already brainstormed a lot into what is possible.
Yep.
Maybe not motivating, but possible.
Sure.
Why not, of those 1,500 carriers, you know, 80-20 rule, 20% on the same percent of the aggressive workers, you get into the little guy, and get 10 or 20 working right now.
Yeah.
it's a better presentation to say these guys are already doing it.
Yeah.
And it is too, because you get to shoot down any of the engineering discussion about obstacles and any of the marketing discussion and the security discussions or anything else.
What we did was we went to the RCA, the Rural Carriers Association, and we told them, look, you guys, this is something that you can be offering your customers for almost nothing, and they're going to love you for it. You're going to be able to build relationships with your local community. Isn't it great? And they said, we're not doing anything until the FCC report's been published, because we know the FCC is studying this. But according to the FCC's, since that report, they're not going to do anything until something like 2014.
No,
I'm not going to wait that long.
I've got another question. Have you done an analysis of your competition? Well, let me tell you, these guys who, San Mateo County, where I live, which is the county north of Palo Alto here, has a new alert system where you can ask for your email, and the company that sold them things has 170 emergency networks already installed. Now, it may not be the same technology, it may not be broadcast, but the fact is they've sold it to counties and towns, and they've got 170 networks installed already. And what it says on my county is if you want it for any of the other counties in the Bay Area, certain ones that have it, you can just sign up and give them your email. Now, that's different because I have to give them the email or I have to give them the phone number. Right. So the point is that they sold to the counties and they sold 170 networks.
But you made me think of real quick. Okay, here's a Washington contact for Google.
Okay.
They do the 700 megahertz.
Yes. Yeah.
And the principles of virtual signaling and everything, he might be a good person, be an ally.
The answer to your question is, one of our, the guy who actually wrote the software for this, already writes software for that kind of thing.
Okay.
That's what he does already. So what we've done is, we've decided that we'll go to local sheriffs. We have a sheriff in Montgomery County in Texas who's bought off us a normal texting system. So we actually already sell normal texting and other systems. Just to show that we haven't got anything against that, it's just that it sucks. Because as soon as you try to send like 100,000 or something, it doesn't do it.
Right.
But we do sell the system to do that. So our new strategy is go along and try and sell those old systems, but be honest and say, okay, there's a limit to how good this thing is, honestly. And it depends upon two things. Now, because people have got to go to the website and subscribe, they've got to trust you with their phone number or their email address. And of course, the other thing is, if you go to a website and say, I want alerts for Montgomery County, and then you go to the city of Chicago, you're not going to get information about problems in Chicago. You're going to get information about where you signed up.
This gives
you information about where you're asleep right now, even if that is in some island in Sri Lanka.
So you've got a clear competitive advantage over these guys.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
So, but I still think you have to market to the counties.
We
have to do it multiple times for each cell company in the context.
The problem you have is this transcends reality.
No, you don't, because, you see, the broker here, one of its other jobs is to make sure that every cell company that's in the area that has agreed to participate gets a copy. But more than that, in the future, there'll be Wi-Fi and there'll be WiMAX and then there'll be LTE.
Yes,
so
yes.
You will also send a copy to them as well if they are participating. I don't owe the cellular industry any favours.
Right.
And if the county say to me, broadcast this to as many devices as you possibly can, then we will do all the right signal protocol elevations, we'll send it off to the cellular company, but also to all the Wi-Fi hotspots and also to all the participating other the carriers that we can think of who have chosen to participate. But we have to start somewhere. What I've learned is, if we don't get started on this and we don't get a framework in place, by the time the technology rolls along, there'll be so much rah, 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 and so many me-toos trying to do it, it'll be chaos, and everybody will get a lot of spam. And if people get spam over this thing, they will switch it off.
Right.
If they switch it off, we'll have lost it forever.
Right.
We have to make sure, above all, that when this thing works the first time, it works just like we said. If you agree to receive emergency messages, that's all you get. You don't get commercial messages, but if you want to get commercial messages as well, if you're explicitly asked to, then you will. That's possible if we have a framework.
I think what we should do beginning is we should be going to Netflix or eBay and saying that we should have a Netflix channel or an eBay channel or a Macy's channel and give them the opportunity to subsidize a mobile device.
What do you put on the channel? What do you put
on the channel?
Just put a blog on it. Go get Scoble. Scoble's blog.
Oh, yeah. Do an RSS feed or whatever.
No, I don't think you want to do that. I think you want to just focus on emergency. Otherwise, it's not differential. You know, if it starts getting all the other commercial stuff, then I think that's hard. That's hard.
There's a couple of different ways to go with it. One way is to keep it pure. The other way is...
How about the Weather Channel?
All right, that's the
855.
I subscribe to local weather over traffic.
We understand that. The arrangement in Wisconsin is that. When they transmit the messages in Wisconsin, it will also give you the frequency of a local FM radio station to tune into, because unfortunately text is a bit limiting, and you're not going to be able to tell the entire Shamu on that. So what it will say is, major flooding expected in this area, tune to, and then somewhere on
the
channel.
What's the message size again?
The maximum message size is about 1,400 characters, but we all think that's ridiculous. We think you should never send a message more than 160 characters. Is about right, we think.
Yeah. You'll probably crash phones if you send a message that's bigger than that.
Yeah.
They won't get the message.
Some phones support it really well as is. Some of them support it really badly as is, and you wouldn't even want to go there. And the majority of them support them just well enough, really. But what I'd like to see is, if there is commercial interest in this, and not only commercial, but civic interest in this for other purposes, then people will bother to write the code to make this work. Most of the reasons why phones doesn't work in phones, when you ask them, how come you didn't fix this bug, they'll go, well, nobody asked us. Nobody's ever asked us to fix this. That's why we didn't do it. But if we have people going up to terminal vendors, this is what the Dutch government are going to do. The Dutch Minister of Telecommunications has brought Nokia in the room and said, I think it sucks that this and that model phone don't do sub-broadcast because I'm going to be using that for my EIS from now on. Go fix it. And they have. So
then,
already
then
people have added
it to a list of features on the phone to EIS.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot could be done. And the reason why it hasn't been done is because the networks have been going around denying that they have it. The networks went to Congress and said, oh, we don't have any such facility, but for several years and hundreds of millions of dollars, then we'll develop it for you.
Do you think in the United States it might be useful if we pass legislation that says that cell networks should have these characteristics and this particular architectural component should be reserved for doing CBV?
Okay, this is what they did instead. The WARN Act was not written like that. The WARN Act says... A network must transmit EIS messages, or it must tell all of its customers that it's not going to.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell them how to do it.
Yeah.
So that's why they had this big committee that started up to investigate how they were going to do it, which in its 200 pages didn't mention that they already had a solution in it. Because what they said was, we want to form another committee to then develop the technology. What they should have done, if they were honest, is say, well, despite its many problems, of which there are some, self-broadcast is a good enough one in the interim. It could be better, but that's what we have. And they did not say that. So my argument with the networks is, it's all very well to foot drag, and you may have good reasons for doing it, but for Pete's sake, don't go out there and say we haven't got something we have, because that is lying, you know. We're cutting with our pants down here.
Okay.
Well, this is a problem. But, as I said, if we had enough applications doing this, then that problem would go away.
Yeah, we're probably going to get kicked out of the PCR.
Let's say thank you to Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you.